Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. I want to thank you for joining us this Thursday afternoon, March 28th, 2013, the last trading day of the quarter. Markets are closed tomorrow due to Good Friday. So give us a call. We'll be open for most of the day tomorrow. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Well, Wendy Wilson joining us in just a few short moments. She joins us every Thursday afternoon for the first 20-minute segment. And then we'll be talking about, we're going to be talking about gun control. We're going to be talking about the USDX and many, many other things involving our economy and political affairs in today's world. First, we're going to go to the market. We're going to see what gold and silver has done for the day. We have gold down $9, and it's been there all day long, $15.97. We have silver down 32 at $28.47. Platinum was down 6 at $15.76, and palladium was up 3 at $774. The USDX today down 0.26 at $82.95. Crude oil still creeping up a little bit at a time. 49 up 0.49 at $97.07. And the markets today, not sure if any of them hit some new highs today, but I think we did on the Dow. But let's take a peek here. We saw the S&P did for the day, closing at a record high of 1569. And, of course, the Dow posts its best first quarter since 1998, adding a whole 11%. So you have the Dow up 51 points today at 14,577. The NASDAQ was up 11 at 3267. And as I mentioned, the S&P gained 0.4%, closing at a record high of 1569. The 10-year yield, 1.85%. And the euro did make it back up to 1.28. For all your gold and silver coin needs, folks, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. We still have a few of those Mint State 62 $5 Liberties. Sold a lot of them, but we got a few left. They're available for purchase. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Mint State 62 $5 Liberty gold pieces at $540 each. We have Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs joining us. Well, first let me say hi, Al.
Hi, Melody.
How are you?
Oh, I'm actually pretty good.
All right. Good job.
No, for my age, I guess. I don't know if it's... I wouldn't necessarily thought I was doing that. If I was 10 or 20 years younger, I wouldn't necessarily think I was doing all that good. But given my age, yeah, I'm doing okay. You know,
you're breathing, right?
Yeah, breathing. I don't know. Helping to build a cabin up here in Oregon, the rest of that sort of thing. I'm having a good time.
Good. Life is good then. And we'll have to see how life is with Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs.
Hello,
is Wendy
Melody,
there?
How are you?
Just fine, Wendy. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm still breathing. It's a good day then, huh?
You betcha. It's a good day when you're breathing.
That's right.
Hello, Wendy.
Hey, Al.
Another big day today, huh? Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
It's a big day? What do you mean by big day?
Oh, just another big day. They're all big days. They're all big days. They just run faster. They're not longer than they were when I was younger. They're just moving faster. They're the same. In any case, what do we got today, Wendy?
Well, topic that I'm going to be discussing later on Herb Talk is the topic of feudal care. Do you know what that is?
Did you say feudal or fetal?
F-U-T-I-L-E. Feudal.
Feudal care? It sounds like, I don't care. It sounds like Obamacare.
Well, you are close. Actually, it is a term that most medical professionals use, especially in hospital environments. And there was a story in this month in the Saturday Evening Post by a Dr. Ken Murray, who said that basically the medical industry has this term called feudal care, which is toxic drugs, unnecessary surgery, and procedures that will do nothing to benefit the patient. It just increases the medical bill. Usually it's for people who are, you know, chronically ill, probably end-of-life scenario, and the doctors do all this stuff to a patient. You know, they hook them up to machines. They got tubes running everywhere. Lots of drugs, maybe even a last-ditch effort of surgery, and it really doesn't benefit the patient. The patient's not going to make it anyway, so it's called feudal care. And get this, Al and Melody, doctors don't want feudal care for themselves. They have to perform it on you because they work for a hospital authority, but you know most doctors have a medallion that they wear all the time, or they even get a tattoo that says no code, which means they don't want any of that unnecessary treatment.
Well, that's interesting, but who does want that treatment? And the answer, of course, is the hospital, because the treatment costs money. The feudal care is profitable care. It's I don't know, it's like putting stitches in an orange and getting paid for it.
Well, according to Dr. Murray, he says doctors vent about this. They say, you know, they say to administer medical care that that makes people suffer is anguishing. Which is why a lot of your medical doctors are substance abusers. You know, that they are medicating their conscience with drugs and alcohol. And more male doctors than female doctors are heavy drinkers.
Well, I don't necessarily know that's all due to feudal care. I think heavy drinkers, I think that just runs with being male more so than female. But I may be wrong about that. That's just... just a natural bent for our gender, for my gender, and what can I say? But I understand what you're saying, and it does have to be. They will wind up, after performing this feudal care, unnecessarily cutting into people that are already dying, unnecessarily prescribing drugs to people that are already dying. There's a point to it where it becomes hypocritical, it becomes painful, and it's a little bit like being in the military. I would suppose that the doctors even suffer from something like post-stress traumatic syndrome.
Yeah, probably.
If I'm saying the term correct, they're post-traumatic stress syndrome, excuse me. But yeah, even there, that's got to be troubling.
Yes, it is. And, well, what Dr. Murray had some tips. You know, nobody wants to go to the hospital. Sometimes there's an accident, you know, and you wind up there. And then, you know, you may not be conscious, and then your family is called in to make decisions for you. So his thing is most people are dealing with this whirlwind of frenzy of, you know, emotions, concern for their family member, and they get a lot of forms shoved in their face, and it forces them to make decisions they may not be well informed about, because a lot of those forms look like court documents, you know, because the hospital authorities, you know, looking after its own best interest. Yep. But Dr. Murray says, you know, this is a nightmare. This is when the nightmare begins, when the medical staff will ask the family, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to do everything possible? And, of course, what's the most that most people are going to respond with?
They're going to want you to do everything possible, even if they can't afford it.
Right.
And, you know, they do whatever you can to save the loved one, the family member, whatever. And, of course, the doctors will use that as justification to go ahead, well, we're going to carve them up like a turkey.
Right, exactly. Huh? That is actually what Dr. Murray says. That's carte blanche, to do everything yep. possible. That is the key phrase to initiate futile care, in his opinion. And that's when the nightmare begins, he says. So he says you would be better off to slow down, to ask questions, and if the medical staff is too busy to answer yeah. those questions, then you say, do everything that you can to save my family member. Instead of saying that, he says, do everything that's reasonable and no futile care. Okay?
All right. So you're going to do everything that's reasonable.
Everything is reasonable, but everybody has a different definition okay. of what's reasonable. But you add that caveat, no futile care. And
okay,
those doctors,
I get that.
They know exactly what that is, so they can't look at you and say, I don't understand you. They know exactly what that is.
Well, that's what I was thinking is you would ask, what's the prognosis? And if they're telling you Uncle John is going to be dead here in the next 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
then the only thing you can, and you're going to say, you mean there's nothing you can do? Well, we can stretch it out a little bit. We can maybe do this, that, or the other, but reality is he will be dead in the foreseeable future. He's not going to leave this hospital alive. Under those circumstances, then you can make perhaps a reasonable decision and say, well, then just make him as comfortable as possible. That's kind of the way it was running through my mind. But your statement, tell them, no futile care,
mm-hmm.
I think that's better. Instead of simply
no
asking what's the prognosis, tell them
no
futile care.
Yeah, no experimenting.
And one
on
of
the
things about what would happen to the doctor's liability, financial liability? Has anyone explored this? Do you know if anyone's discovered whether the doctor can be sued if someone says no futile care and the doctor does perform obviously futile care? Is there any legal liability there?
There would be when you talk to the doctor, you can also say, you know, what are the reasonable options?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, there's always options. So, you know, you want to go over those. It'd be a good idea, you know, on the way out the door, if you get a call that, you know, someone's at the hospital, to grab a notepad and write everything down, write everything they say to you and write everything you ask them. Okay, because you're not going to remember all of it later. So if you can write it all down, that's going to be helpful to you, because there was this JAMA report that was put out by Dr. Barbara Starfield of John Hopkins School of Hygiene and Public Health, and she exposed that the third leading cause of death, third leading cause of death is death by doctor.
Yeah. Out of mm-hmm. all the causes of death in this country.
Mm-hmm. Right. She had the statistics down. Uh-huh. She had the statistics, Al. She broke it down. She says there's 2,000 deaths annually from unnecessary surgery. There's 7,000 deaths annually from medication errors. There's 20,000 deaths annually from other hospital errors. There's 80,000 deaths annually from hospital-borne infections. 106,000 deaths every year from non-error adverse events of medications. So she noted there's 225,000 annual deaths in the U.S. from physician activity, making death by doctor the third leading cause of death in America. And then I think they went on to say that when you go to the hospital, you have a minimum of a 44% risk of injury while you're there under the care of your doctor at any U.S. hospital.
You mean that if I walk in the door of the hospital and I've got one problem, there's a 44% chance that before I get out, I'm going to have another significant problem in addition to my first one?
and your hospital bills, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. So, yeah.
Do I get treatment for the new and improved? Do I get treatment for free for the new disease that I catch at the hospital?
Oh, no. How are you going to prove that, right?
Well, I understand this is a heck of a business model. You know, you walk into the hospital, somebody thumps you on the head, you had a sprained wrist when you walked in the door, now you've got a concussion, huh? And it's going to cost you or your insurance company to not only repair your sprained wrist, but also the concussion. And I'm speaking figuratively, of course. But,
I know, you're being facetious. But, you know, hey, the World Health Organization, they analyzed the healthcare systems in 191 countries. And for what it's worth, in 2000, they reported, they analyzed the healthcare system and said, this was a New York Times article, by the way. They said back then, France and Italy had the very best care in the world. U.S. ranked 37.
Yeah.
Okay. So they also said that the medical systems globally found the U.S. ranked pretty much at the bottom.
Yeah.
And even Canada and Britain with the socialized medical care beat out the U.S. So,
37, we're no longer even in the Western world. Take number 37 out of all the countries on the globe.
Right.
We're down into certainly not Western. We're not in the range of the Western world anymore. We're down in among, I don't know, second world nations, maybe the top of the third world. I'm not sure. But
we'll see if Obamacare raises those statistics, because most people aren't going to get treated.
Yeah, I know.
Think about it.
I understand. They understood from the beginning that Obamacare would be rationed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that necessarily means they knew from the beginning that there would not be enough medical care for everybody. That means some people just aren't going to get taken care of.
Well, I know.
By a system that allegedly is going to give us universal health care. All it's going to do is give us equal health care for everybody, and it'll turn out to be not enough for many.
Well, I know it's getting late, but think about the malpractice insurance, which is underwritten by insurance underwriters. They you know, weigh risk. And to get this, chiropractors only pay 2% in malpractice. Naturopaths and herbalists don't pay any. And the reason is, because the underwriters say if you use a science-based practice and you're licensed, rather than doing a nutrition-based therapy, which has no risk, that's the reason for the malpractice rating.
I thought it was because UP herbalists probably don't go to the take their patients to the hospital very often. I thought that would be the kiss of death on your insurance ratings. If you're going to a hospital, Mr. Doctor, you're going to have to pay extra.
The thing is if they're going to license nutrition, you're going to need permission to eat.
Well, I understand that, and this touches on a subject. We don't have enough time. We've only got about 20 seconds left, but touches on the definition of drugs. You maybe heard me talk about this before, we'll do it another next time you're on. Thursday, we'll see if we can get to it. Why don't you give folks contact information, Wendy? How do they get to Apothecary Herbs and Wendy Wilson, and who do they call, and what URL?
Okay, the web address is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. They can call us toll-free at 866-229-3663 for a free product catalog. We specialize in immune boosting and organ cleansing and some other things, but the toll-free is 866-229-3663, and that's a 24/7 number.
All right, my last question for you. If you do organ cleaning, do you also do piano tuning?
Oh, very nice, Val.
We don't have time for the answer. We'll save the answer for next Thursday. That'll be the first thing we get to. Do you do piano tuning in addition to organ cleaning? Wendy Wilson, thepowerherbs.com. We'll see you again on Thursday. Thank you, Wendy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care. Have a good holiday.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, Melody is still running the special we had yesterday, if I understand correctly. Is that true or false, Melody?
Absolutely correct. It's a great little deal. MS62 $5 Liberty gold pieces at $540. Regular price on those are $580. I've seen prices online for over $600. So it's a great savings on the coins. You're paying about $15 over wholesale. So really good price. They can give us a call at 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And
what's next?
What's next? What do you want to have at next, Al?
Oh, I don't know. It's a little too early for my nap, so I suppose we'd better talk about one of the stories. Let's talk about the number of bets on the U.S. dollar has never been higher. Dealing with the USDX longs, the U.S. dollar index, longs are higher than ever. Now, is that good news or bad news, Melody? What does that mean?
It means a lot of people believe the dollar is going to be stronger. A lot of people are going to be heading to the dollar, thinking that the euro will be collapsing amongst the problems that they're having over there.
Yep. And it also indicates, I mean, one of the other consequences, if the dollar is going to get stronger, it also indicates, it implies that the price of gold is going to go down. But take a look at the second graph. You've got a copy of this article there. And if you look at the blue graph, there's two graphs they've provided, one on the U.S. dollar index and the other one, net long position of large speculators and U.S. dollar futures. Do you see the graph I'm talking about?
Yes, Al.
And do you see what happens every time they get up to a big high?
Yes, Al.
What is it, Melody?
Crash.
That's exactly right. And where are we today?
Ready to crash.
We're at the 54,000 contracts, new all-time high. And if you could see this graph, folks, you can't see it, of course, on the radio program. But every time it goes up to a high like this one, and this is the highest one they've ever had, the next thing you see is a significant crash. All right, and it falls dramatically, which implies that because the U.S. dollar index, the measure of the net long positions of large speculators, that's the title on the graph here, because it's at the highest level ever, it implies that we are just about ready to see the U.S. dollar index, this net long position, fall dramatically, and with it, we may see a significant rise in the price of gold. So it's interesting. You know, you see these ads, you see these articles, and you say, ha-ha, then the number of bets on the U.S. dollar index has never been higher. People think everything's going great. Yeah, but it's never been higher, and every time it gets this high or approximately this high, we see a significant reversal. So the implication is there's a high probability, not a guarantee, but a high probability that the price of gold will rise significantly in the near future. At least that's the way it looks to me, Melody.
It does. And, you know, we talk a lot about this a lot in the long-term fundamentals. I mean, they want a weaker dollar. And, you know, already I've heard because the euro's coming down how it's going to help trade and so forth. And you know, this is why countries manipulate their currencies. They want a lower currency. All countries want a lower currency. It helps their exports. So,
it helps their exports, and it also reduces the real, the true dimension of their debt.
Yes.
When we have a cheaper, when the dollar has been inflated, becomes less valuable, it means that the government is able to pay off the national debt with cheaper dollars and thereby rob its creditors. And that's the real object behind inflation. The object is to rob the creditors. Government is the biggest debtor in the world. It has no sympathy for creditors. Government, being the biggest debtor, wants to do what's best for itself, number one, and other debtors, number two. But the creditors, the people who have savings and money to invest and money to lend to the government, government is there to cheat you, to rob you, and historically, they've done it by means of inflation. They've done it persistently throughout my lifetime. And they are unlikely to stop inflating the currency. The only question is how fast are they likely to inflate in the future? And if anything, in theory, they should increase the rate of inflation. But what else have we seen in Cyprus? We've seen confiscation. It's not enough to merely inflate the currency to rob creditors. They are now confiscating bank accounts, or at least portions of them, robbing the creditors, the guy that put the money in the bank. You know, we're going to rob you. We need it. We're the government. We're going to rob the creditors and keep it for ourselves. It's not Robin Hood. It's, it's Al Capone. That's what we're doing. That's Al Capone. The spirit of Al Capone is animating our modern financial and banking systems. So one of the implications in all of this that's clearly flowing out of Cyprus and clearly flowing out of government's persistent interest in inflation is that those of you who have saved any wealth, you would do well to put it in a place where it cannot be easily inflated or confiscated. You can't inflate gold. You can't inflate silver. An ounce is an ounce. All right? You're not going to, the inflation doesn't have a meaningful effect on gold and silver, or a meaningful adverse effect on gold and silver. It will increase the apparent price of gold and silver at least as fast as inflation and probably faster over the long haul. And as it does that, it preserves your wealth, protects you. Next point, Cyprus, they're confiscating funds out of banks because banks are easy to rob. They can't be robbed easily by me or by Melody or most of you people in the audience, but they can absolutely be robbed by the government. The government has a key to every vault, every account. They can get into any of them, and they can get in at virtually at a moment's notice. If you're going to store your wealth in an institution that is easily robbed by government, you need to factor that into your calculation of risk. Say, do I really want to put my money in that bank? Or would it maybe be better to put it into gold and silver coins and stick them in the attic, bury them up on Aunt Mabel's farm, or where do you want? You know, find a way to protect your wealth on your own. Do it independently.
We got a caller, Jeff from Florida.
Good.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Melanie. Hi, Al.
Hello, Jeff.
You know me for a long time ago when you had the anti-shyster.
Well, I've known a number of people named Jeff, so I can't place you right off the top of my head.
I know. It's been a long time. Do you remember Tom Dunn and David Dodge? Original
sure do.
Amendment?
Sure do.
I was that gentleman from Ohio that sent you some information years ago with them.
All right.
The reason why I wanted to touch base with you, I heard on another morning show that the New Hampshire state legislature is considered a resolution involving the original U.S. Constitution and the original 13th Amendment. You know, the titles of nobility?
Yes, I do.
Does that ring a bell?
And there, Massachusetts is considering that?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
I heard it on a radio show this morning. I forgot the name of the show that it's presently titled, but I forgot the name. Derry used to host it.
Derry Brownfield.
Derry
Brownfield.
The U.S. Constitution, all the corporation, the United States, and all that history with, between the War of the States and Lincoln and martial law and that, all that. Okay. So he
well, do you want to give
with,
you want to give folks an introduction of what the missing 13th Amendment is all about, or shall I?
It has to do with the titles of nobility,
right?
And basically, anybody taking a title of nobility without the permission of Congress, they would lose their U.S. citizenship. And that got
it also involved honors. It prohibited both titles of nobility and honors granted by the federal government. Now, this amendment was proposed back about 1809, my recollection. And then the War of 1812 broke out 3 years later. It had been ratified by, 8 states, and I think they needed 9 to add this to the Constitution. The War of 1812 broke out, and the amendment was forgotten. And back about 1815 or thereabouts, they asked 3 or 4 remaining states had not yet responded whether they were voting for or against this amendment, and they needed one more state to say yes. Virginia responded by publishing a new copy of the Constitution of the United States. It was made available to their judges and high officials and whatever, and they specifically sent a new copy to the president at the time and I think president of the Senate, Speaker of the House of Representatives, I don't remember, but they sent this out, and it included the missing 13th Amendment as a ratified amendment, and it is believed that by this means they signaled that they had in fact ratified this amendment. Well, the amendment was carried. We found 26 different states and territories that had published copies of this amendment as ratified. Oh, from 1815 on up to about 1876 was the last one, if I recall correctly. And what these, and then the amendment essentially disappeared. For a while, there were a couple of documents where we had the modern 13th Amendment was registered as the 14th Amendment, and the missing 13th Amendment was on the same document. The question is whether it was ever lawfully ratified. It's been... The government says it doesn't want it. They argue it was never lawfully ratified. There's good reason to believe it was, but here was the point to the amendment. Both titles of nobility and honors, what they mean are advantages or privileges that are enjoyed by some people that are not enjoyed by others. For example, we used to be that anyone who wanted to practice law in this country could do so. But today, you have to have a license to practice law. And this license ultimately becomes a title of nobility. If you don't have the license, you can't practice law. There are other documents you can get from the government that really turn out to be titles of nobility and or honors. If you've got the right paperwork, you can do something. If you don't have it, you can't. Now, the point is that the founders intended this country to be open to everyone, and if you wanted to do it, do it. All right? There would be no honors, no special advantages for some groups that other groups couldn't partake in. If they had done that, if that amendment had remained on the Constitution, it would be perhaps, certainly one of, perhaps even the most important amendment to the Constitution, because it would have prevented all special interest legislation. If Congress couldn't pass laws where they say, well, we're going to take money from Melody and we're going to give it to Frank the producer, if they couldn't do that, the Congress wouldn't have to meet more than a month or two every year. All of the laws would apply to everyone equally. There'd be no immunity for government officers, officials, and employees. It would be a powerful, powerful amendment. The story is extraordinary. It's a story out of American history that's really, really bizarre. And there's a high probability that the government simply abandoned that amendment. They know it was ratified, I think. But it was such a powerful amendment, and it would have prevented all special interest legislation. The government couldn't stand it, so they made it disappear.
This is what I'm calling in. I don't have the means or ability to get on the internet and verify all of this because my own personal battles made me poor. I think you understand where that's coming from.
I do.
And you have the means to get on the internet to verify what's going on in, like I said, New Hampshire legislature, this resolution. I don't know the exact title of it, but it involves the actual U.S. Constitution and the original 13th Amendment. From what I could gather by the guest this morning's show, the indication for what I could understand when he read it, they're actually contesting and saying the present U.S. Constitution is a fraud and we don't have to operate underneath this. And the implication is, you know, the entanglement basically tying us to the overseas foreign interest, to the kings and crowns and the bankers, okay?
I agree.
And I think this, well, I think you look into this, maybe talk about it more on the air or get other people informed on it, because I think this may be a good sign we may be possibly going on in this country. And besides,
well, I'll see if I can dig up some more information on it, Jeff, and then we will either talk about it in this program or perhaps I'll post something on the blog. Well, it'll depend on what we find.
I was wondering if you could call me maybe this evening. I'll give you my number, maybe off air with staff.
You can give the number to Frank off the air. I think Frank can do that after you. We're going to take a commercial break here in about 20 seconds. If you want to give the phone number to Frank, do you use Skype?
No, I do not. Like I said, I'm not on the internet at all.
No computer. Oh. All right, then we're going to have a problem.
My computer is the public library. Okay.
All right.
Just leave the number with Frank.
Appreciate
all right, Jeff.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call, Jeff. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We got a question in. The question is, according to Der Spiegel, banks have been closed and accounts frozen in Cyprus recently. Nevertheless, large amounts were moved out of the country's crippled financial institutions on the eve of the bailout package, and the lawmakers are suspicious and are investigating both the government and the Cypriot Central Bank. Did some large banksters move their assets after the bank closures?
I don't know about after the bank closures, but before the bank closures, there I've seen a report that the new president of Cyprus informed some of his close associates that there was going to be a serious financial problem and they would be wise to move their money out of the country. I have no idea how much money was moved, but President of Cyprus is implicated in these reports, and there may be other people as well, but that's the one I heard in the report. So, you know, it's always playing that advantage. Who do you know? You know, it would be one thing if everybody had to pay the same price. It's not. Yeah, there's always advantages to close associates, cronies of people in positions of power. And it shouldn't be tolerated. It's the sort of thing that should be weeded out. Don't allow government to investigate it. Conduct the investigations independently. When you find out what's going on, take the president, in this case of Cyprus, and make him rue the day he ever went into politics. Make an example of him. You know, our courts work on the basis of deterrence. They will jail people for 20 years for some offense, and when any rational person can see they don't belong there for more than 3 or 5, but they'll give them a 20-year sentence in order to send a message to everyone else who might be thinking about committing that crime. They believe in deterrence. Why shouldn't we, the people, have deterrence relative to our politicians and our judges? Every time you step out of line, we're going to bury you, right? In order to deter the rest of the judges, politicians, police officers from committing similar crimes. But the government says, no, 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 we need immunity. See, we need official immunity, and I don't remember, there are a number of varieties of legal immunities that attach to people who work for the government. They get to break the law, and they can't normally and they can't easily be held liable when they do. And it's essentially the idea that government does so many good things for so many people that, well, we got to let them do a couple of bad things every once in a while and not charge them. And the truth is, if there's anyone in this country who should be buried in prison if they violate the law, it should be anyone who works for the government. But instead they say, we the people are held to a higher standard than them, the government. They get immunity, we get the opportunity to be buried in the slammer. It's wrong, it's a bad situation, it should be changed. I don't expect it to change soon. Certainly government will not give up its immunities unless they are absolutely forced to do so, and that sort of force almost certainly implicates, I won't say it necessarily implicates a shooting revolution, but it's going to come pretty close. Power concedes nothing. They want immunity. You don't want to, if we didn't want them to have immunity, we're going to have to push them very, very hard. What else we got, Melody?
You know, it's interesting now, though, how over the years people have been conditioned to accept the criminal element, not only in politicians, but even on Wall Street and wherever you find a criminal element.
I
mean, I can even remember as a small child, you know, once in a while you'd hear him talk about the crooked politician, and it was, yeah, you know, chuckle, chuckle, and, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. You know, it was only one or two. Now you got the whole ball of wax that they're all criminal. And,
I understand.
Except it's totally reversed. Then it was a few. Most of them were good. Now it's all of them are criminal and just a few are good. And it just over time, and even in people's lives, the acceptance, I mean, no responsibility. And we can look at it as, you know, taking God out of our schools, out of our workplaces, you know, out of our lives, period, everywhere we go. Who do you account to? Who are you accountable to anymore? And therefore, it's just readily accepted across the line. I mean, you get a brother and sister, you know, criminal elements against one another, and it's just accepted. Parents accept it. And it's
endemic in government.
Yeah.
They are routinely violating the law. They know they violate the law, and they
but
just
the
laugh
people
and
accept
wink.
It.
And it, yeah, I agree.
People accept it.
I can remember they had a Secretary of State of Illinois. Oh, this is back in the 60s and 70s, and I can't even think of his name, Paul someone, and I can't remember his name anymore. But when the man died, they found shoeboxes, a shelf full of shoeboxes that were full of $100 bills up on in his closet. He'd been taking bribes all the time he'd been in Washington, or excuse me, at the state capitol in Illinois. He'd been taking bribes all the time and just storing them up in the cabinets. He never lived in he never had a particularly luxurious life. He didn't spend it on wild women and trips to Las Vegas and the rest of that. He just squirreled it away. And I think I came to believe that the man was to some degree honest. I think he couldn't have had the job if he was unwilling to take bribes. I think the system was inherently corrupt, and I think he came to understand that if he didn't take bribes, they would never trust him. So if he wanted to be Secretary of State, he had to take bribes, and he did. And he just stored them up on the closet, and he died and spent virtually none of the money in his lifetime. It is evidence that the system is so corrupt that if you go in as an honest man, they're going to run you off. You can't get elected as an honest man these days. That's not an absolute truth, but there's a lot of truth in the statement.
We had another question that came in, and we got a couple of comments. I talked to you about it earlier this week. And it's about our CIA and military. They have been actively supporting the anti-Assad forces in Syria. And the question is, the plan is to install a regulatory democracy to pave the way for world government. This will never work. We will end up with Muslim Brotherhood, which will be very negative for the West. Anyway, what if the powers to be decided to steal Russian money that was being used to support Iran and Syria, the Assad regime? They were trying to get back at the Russians. They thought this would work, and besides, it would take some of the pressure off the central banks. The Russians, however, play hardball. And, of course, then there was a mention of another person's son that hung himself, Bernie Madoff. And I think those are two separate incidences. And I did send this question over to our resident, I think our, and if you'd like to comment on it, Al, I think I told you I sent this over to Ivan, our resident expert in these areas. And he says the Russians oligarchs had offshore money in Cyprus. They will deal with it separately. He doesn't think that the money was funneled to Syria. Russia can directly or through Iran support Syria. Similarly, what America is doing to the rebels, the Muslim Brotherhood is a Freemason organization, and they will support Israel regardless of what they say to the world. Assad, just like Saddam, protected the Christians, which Israel and Muslim Brotherhood do not, and as you know, Russia and China are close allies, and if shove comes to push, China will use the so-called nuclear option by dumping the $2 trillion on the market, which would devastate the U.S. And, of course, you can also remember that Russia also has the ability with the BRIC nations. So there's a lot of play that they can do. So
the whole thing is so interconnected.
Yes.
It's hard to say who can do what. Because there are, it's like teeter-totters connected to teeter-totters connected to teeter-totters. It's kind of a Rube Goldberg machine. Once you put this thing in motion, you can have unintended consequences that become very difficult to stop. Cyprus is an example. It was a simple situation of simply of extorting $5.8 billion out of Cyprus. Seems simple. What they've done in 2 weeks is diminished confidence in banking on a global basis. They've had extraordinary adverse consequences. It has to give them pause. Who has brains enough in this current system to make a move that doesn't actually cause more trouble than they were intending? They had a little problem, and they make more of a problem by trying to solve the little problem. There's been speculation that Putin, president of Russia, is irate over Cyprus seizing Russian funds. Right? Says, oh my gosh, they're robbing Russia. But there's other people who think, no, they're not concerned about it. Or Putin is not concerned about it. What they're doing is they're robbing people who were trying to avoid Russian taxes by putting their income into Cyprus. And insofar as those people are being stopped, the tax revenues for Russia should increase. If they don't have access to that offshore banking, at least at Cyprus, they're going to be more prone to pay their taxes in Russia. So it may be, it depends, does Putin have his own money in Cyprus? If he does, he's going to be upset if he's robbed. But if Putin doesn't have any of his own money in Cyprus, he may actually be in favor of what's going on down there, because it may force more money back into Russia where the Russian government can lay hands on it. No one knows what's really going on over there. And we can speculate about it, and we can wonder about it, but no one really knows what's happening in Cyprus or why. We know what is happening, but we don't know why. There are a bunch of conspiracy theories, a bunch of reasonable theories, and I'm not sure that we've even heard. what the true explanation, the true reasons for. And it may be that it's just stupidity. Maybe what's happening in Cyprus is simply because a bunch of idiots got control of the levers of power in Brussels, and maybe Germany, and the fools did things that, you know, the whole world may live to regret before this is all over. So, I don't have a clear answer for those questions. I can only say that things are confusing. They're going to remain confusing and unclear until everyone steps forward and they say, "This is what I did, and this is why I did it." And they not only say it, they tell the truth.
The clearest thing is people are losing money, and that's
true.
A fact. And
true.
You need to protect yourself because it's coming our way. How? It could be the same way. It could be in a different manner. It could be through inflation. We're going to have inflation anyway. Have you shopped it lately? So you need to prepare. And I just wanted to let you know, we were going to talk about the U.S. Joining the U.N. arms treaty. They're actually doing through negotiations and so forth. You do have the Senate vote 53-46 to stop the U.S. from joining. However, the chair suspended meetings today after Iran and North Korea say they will block adoption of U.N. arms trade treaty. So, and that just came out a few minutes ago, and this is from the Washington Post. The chair has suspended a U.N. meeting after Iran and North Korea said they would block adoption of a treaty that would regulate the multi-million dollar international arms trade. And to be approved, the draft needed support from all 193 UN member nations. And the chairperson, Australian Ambassador Peter Wolcott, called the suspension after they raised their name plans, refusing to join consensus following speeches outlining their objections to the treaty. So the supporters of the treaty said that if the treaty was not adopted, they would go to the General Assembly and put the draft to a vote where they expect overwhelming approval anyway. So.
One of the quotes I saw in yesterday's newspaper, the Obama administration, this was an official at the UN, the Obama administration wants a treaty that is strong, effective, and implementable, and that helps address the adverse effect of the international arms trade on global peace and stability. However, he went on, he continued, he said, adding that the United States, quote, could only be party to an arms treaty that addresses international transfers of conventional arms solely and does not impose any new requirements on U.S. domestic trade in firearms or U.S. exporters. So they, I don't know, we've got the government and the administration that wants to take our guns away here, but they don't want to do it by means of a treaty with the U.N., at least according to this official. The world is nutty. You understand that? You can't believe a word you hear from any of these officials. The contradictions, the hypocrisy is knee-deep, waist-deep, up to your ears. What do? You have to protect yourself. In a world that is going mad, your only hope is the good Lord, number one, and self-defense, number two. One of the ways to protect yourself, gold and silver coins. Give Melody a call, 1-800-375-4188. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. I want to say thank you for listening on behalf of myself and Melody, and we will be back mañana. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank DePete.
Thank you, Al. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Melody.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.